You're listening to the micro version of the Savage Lovecast at savage.love.
If you're stuck in a relationship quandary, or if you're looking for sexual harmony, well, there's nothing you can't ask on the Savage Lovecast.
I ran out of pot last week. Happens. So I walked to the pot shop near my house. That didn't used to happen. There wasn't always a pot shop near my house. I went in masked because we have a mask mandate in Washington State, and I am not an asshole. And the nice masked woman behind the counter recognized my voice and kind of freaked out at me a little bit, which is fine. I love having fans and fans who tell me how much this show means to them while handing me a giant bag of pot chocolates. Those are my favorite kind of fans. And then the woman at the pot shop told me she'd moved to Seattle at the start of the pandemic for love. And I braced myself. I thought I knew where this was going. I was putting my advice hat on, but I didn't need to. Things were going great with her pandemic girlfriend. Sometimes those impulse purchases, moving to a place you've never been, to be with someone you barely know at a time you can't get away from, sometimes those impulse purchases work out. So I told her I was happy for her and her girlfriend and relieved to hear that the pressures of the pandemic didn't screw things up for her. And then she said, well, the pandemic had screwed something up for her. Shibari. She's a rigger, a rope bondage enthusiast, a rope bondage person, and it's been sad for her not getting to tie people up, not getting to go to bondage parties during the pandemic. Then the woman at the pot shop asked me if I had a frequent flyer number, a customer account for rewards, and I said I didn't, but I thought my husband's boyfriend might, so we looked up his number, and he did, and she credited my purchase to his account. Live in the moment. That's what they say, right? Been hearing that all my life. Live in the moment. But to live in the moment right now, these days, can be kind of exhausting. There are lots of shitty moments coming at us, seemingly faster and faster over the last 5 years. But walking home from the pot shop last week, I was fully appreciating that moment. Those moments, that little sequence of moments. I was in a pot shop. I ran into another queer person. She brought up her girlfriend and her kinks. I brought up my husband and his boyfriend. And it all felt totally normal because those moments are now normal, so normal that we hardly notice them. But if we don't take a moment to appreciate those moments, how things have changed for the better, we risk missing out on the lesson that progress has been made. Men have husbands. Some of their husbands have boyfriends. Legal pot shops exist in 19 states and the District of Columbia. Kinky people feel comfortable sharing that fact with someone they've just met. 10 years ago, we didn't have pot shops. I didn't have a husband. I had Terry. We weren't married, so that's better. We fought for that. Shouldn't take it for granted. And the person working in the pot shop that day, 10 years ago, minimum wage in Seattle was not $15. She's getting that at least, hopefully more, plus tips and healthcare. We fought for that. Shouldn't take that for granted. I got home feeling pretty good about the moment I was having. And full disclosure, I hadn't even opened the pot yet. And then I had a very different moment. A moment more in line with the moments we've all been having over the last 5 years. I looked at Twitter. Fucking Texas. They did it. Texas did what I warned you a few months ago here that Texas was about to do. Texas effectively banned abortion and put a bounty on the heads of anyone who helps a woman get an abortion in Texas. And then the Supreme Court didn't do what the Supreme Court could have done and should have done and would have done if Donald Trump hadn't been able to appoint 3 anti-choice justices to the court, which Hillary Clinton warned us he would be able to do if he won in 2016. And a lot of people on the left accused Hillary of fear-mongering, and she was right. We should have been afraid. We should have been thinking about the courts. Right-wing Christians weren't in love with Donald Trump in 2016. They looked at Trump, held their noses, thought about the Supreme Court, and voted for him. Then he won, and they fell in love. Because it's power they love, power over others. And when power is married to cruelty, that hits the right wing in their G-spot. My point is, we fought for choice, but we took it for granted. Choice and the courts. Now we got to fight for both again. And I got to be honest here, I'm at a loss having a moment. I try to open the show every week with something amusing, uplifting. And when I talk about politics, some constructive suggestions. But this week, reading the news out of Texas, I'm not sure what to say. vote the Republicans out. Republicans in Texas and elsewhere continue to make it harder to vote at all. And Republicans are making it easier for themselves to overturn or ignore the results of elections they don't win. Or I could pause here to call them out on their hypocrisy as if they listened to me, I guess, or call them out on their hypocrisy again. But I'm done pretending that this is really about abortion. I'm done playing along with their framing, not about babies. If they cared about bringing down the abortion rate, they would do the one thing we know works: make safe, long-lasting birth control methods available to all. But they don't do that. They're opposed to that, and they always have been. The fact that they don't do that gives away the game, tells us everything we need to know about their motives. It's not about babies, not about heartbeats. They're not anti-abortion. They're certainly not anti-abortion when it comes to their own pregnant mistresses. They just want to control women's bodies, again, like they used to be able to. This is about punishing women for believing their bodies are their own. It's going to be a long time before we can right this. So vote when and where you still can, and be prepared to get out there in the streets and fight if they overturn an election our side won. And maybe take a moment to donate to one of the groups raising money to assist women in Texas who need abortion care. But again, it's not abortion they really care about. Still, offering to help the women they're trying to punish and control and terrorize. That'll piss them off. That'll feel good. But I gotta say, I feel right now the way I felt in 2004, which seems like ancient history, not that long ago, in 2004 when anti-gay marriage initiatives passed in 11 states. I am feeling despair. But we fought back. And we won. The lesson there? This ain't over. We can fight back. We can win. We're going to have to fight back. We're going to have to win. And we will. And won't that be a moment? All right, coming up on today's show on the Micro Free edition of the Savage Lovecast, tons of your Q's, lots of my A's and ads, and on the Magnum version of the podcast that you can subscribe to at our new website, savage.love. You can also find your way there from savagelovecast.com. But we have a new website, a new and very beautiful website, savage.love. You will find the Magnum podcast and be able to subscribe to it. The Magnum is twice as long, more guests. No ads. We so appreciate all of our Magnum subscribers. Magnum subscribers also get to join me every month, first Thursday, for SAC Lunch and try their hands at giving advice along with me. And you can give the Savage Lovecast as a gift, the Magnum Savage Lovecast, at savage.love. And this week, the special bonus content for Magnum subscribers, Lena Dune from Ask a Sub is back to talk about CBT, erotic massage, and her new advice podcast. And one more bit of business before we get to the show. My new book, Savage Love from A to Z, comes out later this month. A lot of you have been pre-ordering the book, and I really appreciate that so much. If you haven't pre-ordered it yet, shame on you, but there's still time. Go to Amazon or your local independent bookstore, even better, and pre-order your copy of Savage Love from A to Z now. Everything I've learned writing Savage Love over the last 30 years distilled and packed into one beautiful little book with new illustrations from Joe Newton. All right. All that said, let's get to your calls. This episode of the Savage Lovecast is brought to you by Pill Club, the birth control subscription that's delivered right to your door. Get a special care package with your first delivery. Go to thepillclub.com/savage.
This episode of the Lovecast is brought to you by the good folks at Squarespace. They make it easy to build a beautiful website, blog, or online store. Head on over to squarespace.com/savage for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code SAVAGE to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
This episode is brought to you by Helix Sleep, the best mattress for your individualized comfort. Right now, my listeners get up to $200 off all mattress orders at helixsleep.com/savage.
Hey, Dan, this is a 28-year-old bisexual male calling from Denver, Colorado with a sex success story. So the other day, my partner and I, who is a female 28-year-old bisexual, had a date night like we sometimes do. What we'll do is make a comfy nest in one of our beds and hang with Molly and cuddle and love on each other and talk about our feelings and bond and have pretty kinky sex too throughout. And My biggest fetish is ass play, giving and receiving, and I have loved how much in our relationship I've been able to make that something she enjoys too. So this particular night, we were loving on each other, being extra cuddly, and playing with our bums. And recently, I had decided to buy a 12-inch double-sided dildo so we could both penetrate each other with it. Towards the end of the night, where we were pretty sloppy and getting tired, we decided to play with the dildo, and we started by my partner putting it in me deeper and deeper. We wanted to see how deep it could fit. She starts putting it almost all the way in, and we take a break for a second and talk to each other about our feelings, and a few minutes later, we realize we can't find the dildo. After searching for it for a few seconds, we realize that it has gone up all the way inside of me. My partner, who is a nurse, has me get on all fours and tries to digitally extract it for a few minutes to no avail. We start becoming very worried. It's 5:30 in the morning. We are not ourselves and are ready to pass out. And now we're thinking we have to go to the hospital. So one last idea she had was to have me go sit on the toilet and try to expel it, which I do. For about 15 to 20 seconds, I'm sitting there, unable to push it out, and I am scared. I am terrified that I'm going to have to go take on thousands of dollars of medical debt and have such an embarrassing story, all while being physically exhausted. But after 5 to 10 seconds, I feel this just great whoosh out of my body and this large sound of something clunking in the toilet. And I look down, and I see a blue double-sided dildo. We are ecstatic. We are overjoyed. We are exhausted. We go to sleep. It was one of the closest calls I've ever had in my life. And honestly, once I knew I could push it down, I just wanted to put it back in because I've never had something that big inside me.
Let's just maybe take overtaxed frontline healthcare workers into consideration and not lose things in our asses right now. You mentioned having to show up at the hospital, having to show up at the ER to have this dildo that you lost track of when you were talking about your feelings. I know how that is. Been there. You talk about how that you would have taken on medical debt. You would have been embarrassed. You would have overwhelmed or potentially wound up in an overwhelmed hospital where they would not have been able to tend to your packed ass. I'm not saying don't put things in your ass. Everybody, please. I'm a very pro put things in your ass podcast here. Just be careful about the things you're putting in your ass right now. You don't want to be the asshole who shows up at the ER that is overwhelmed at the moment with idiotic, unvaccinated COVID patients and, yeah, overtaxed frontline healthcare workers. So, yeah, success story. You pulled the dildo out of the jaws of defeat, out of the clench of your ass at the last minute. So, yes, qualifies as a success story, but also a cautionary tale for everybody else out there. This could have ended very differently. So folks, be careful about the giant things you're putting in your ass. Flared bases, people, flared bases, and then you won't lose the dildo.
Hi, Dan. I am in my mid-20s, cis woman living in the Southwest, bisexual, I guess. I broke up with my boyfriend of 2 years about 6 months ago. It hasn't been the cleanest breakup that I've ever done. And as the dumper, I feel a lot of guilt and shame for, you know, continuing to have sex with him and spend time with him and be confusing emotionally after the breakup. We recently decided to not have any contact with each other. And I think that's good. I want to do what he wants and needs, you know, in order to heal. And I'd love us to be friends one day. But for my own sake, I'm having a really hard time moving on because I feel like the reasons I had for breaking up with him aren't valid. And I'm not sure that I'm going to have a partner that is ever going to match up to him. He was just really kind and loving, and we got along well, and we were good partners. And I think he's funny and handsome, and, you know, he's one of my favorite people in the world. But something just didn't feel right for a really long time, and it just felt like we weren't on the same page because there was just something off with me. It just felt, it felt wrong, but I didn't have great words for it. And so it feels hard to justify it to myself or other people when I don't have something concrete to point to. My mom continues to ask me all the time if I made a mistake. I don't really think I did, but at the same time, it's hard. So I have a couple of questions that kind of come with all of this, which is like, why can't you get yourself to love someone that's good for you in the way that they need to be loved? And then how can I pursue new relationships in good faith if I don't even know how to put into words what went wrong with my last one? How do I know that I'm not making a huge mistake or made a huge mistake, already made it? Is it valid to end a relationship for no good reason? And is there a way / do I even get to like stop telling myself this story where I'm a villain and like a person who hurts other people? And I just don't know how to look at it and how to make it a nice box that I can learn from.
Your mom may be right. You may have made a mistake. What does that really mean, though? When people say that to someone who broke up with a person who seemed to be a good person, seemed to be right for them, the implication is that you've walked away from the one. Your one and only chance to find true and lasting love. You fucked that up. You dumped that guy. You broke his heart. And you'll never meet anybody else ever again in your life who comes close. And that's just bullshit. That is not true. This can be a mistake. The feelings you had when you were in this relationship, the feelings of ambiguity, that weird tingling sense of dissatisfaction. Maybe if you'd spent another year in the relationship, you would have gotten past that and been able to commit to this guy that your mother really loved and wanted to see you with. Or maybe not. Maybe your relationship spider senses were tingling because you needed to end this, which is what you did. But let's just accept that it could have been a mistake. What does that mean? Does that mean you have to take him back? No. Does that mean you'll never meet anybody else ever again who comes close or could even exceed this guy, be someone that you don't have those feelings of ambiguity about? But I'm here from the future to tell you that any relationship you're ever going to be in, however right that person is for you, however much you love them, however committed you are to that relationship, you will still sometimes have those feelings of doubt and just feeling ambiguous about the relationship and wondering if you made the right choice. And sometimes in dark moments, you look back over the course of your life and you pick out people that you were with before you met the person you're with now, before you committed to the person you're with now, and you think, the road you didn't take, the choice you didn't make. You will always have regrets about this relationship. Maybe with some distance, you'll also have some clarity about why you ended it, why he wasn't, not the one, there is no the one, but not the dude that you were going to round the fuck up to the one. But don't let your current conflicted feelings that are being stoked by your mom lead you to believe that you've made some fatal error here. Even if it was a mistake, it's not a fatal error. You will meet other men. Who knows? Maybe in a few years, you will meet this man again. And you might feel differently about him then. You are young. So is he. That is a thing that has happened to people. It could happen to you. Don't encourage him to think that's a possibility. You already kept fucking him after you dumped him and broke his heart and you filled him with false hope. Not good. Not a good thing to do to someone that you're ending a relationship with. But you never know. So I guess I'm just telling you to be a little bit zen about this. Maybe it was a mistake. Time will tell. Even if it was, we all make mistakes. They're rarely the end of the world. Do you know where the best place to be is? On my Helix mattress. And no, you are not invited, but you can get your own Helix mattress, and then you will also be in the best place. Helix Sleep has a quiz that takes just 2 minutes to complete and matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. With Helix, you're getting a mattress that you know will be perfect for the way you sleep. They have several different mattress models to choose from. They have soft, medium, and firm mattresses. Mattresses great for cooling you down if, like me, you sleep hot. Mattresses great for spinal alignment to prevent morning aches and pains. And even a Helix Plus mattress for plus-sized sleepers. Terry and I took the Helix quiz, and we were matched with the Midnight Luxe mattress because we wanted something with medium firmness, and we both tend to move around a lot at night when we sleep. We love it. Our Helix mattress that we got for us was so comfortable. We got a Helix mattress for the guest room too, and our Helix mattresses can handle everything we throw at them. So if you're looking for a mattress, you take the quiz, you order the mattress that you're matched to, and the mattress comes right to your door, shipped for free. You don't ever need to go to a mattress store again. Just go to helixsleep.com/savage, take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. Then it arrives at your door, shipped for free, and your life changes for the better. Helix Sleep has a 10-year warranty, and you get to try out your new mattress for 100 nights risk-free. We'll even pick it up if you don't love it, but you're going to love it. Helix even has financing options and flexible payment plans, so a great night's sleep is never far away. Helix is also offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/savage. Let them know the Lovecast sent you. Go to helixsleep.com/savage.
Hello. I'm a 51-year-old cisgendered female living in the Rocky Mountains. And over the last couple of years, even just slightly before COVID, trying to mesh with men my age has been disastrous, just disastrous. I'm close to being a family therapist. I feel like I'm a good communicator and definitely growth-oriented person. And I've just been meeting a lot of men in my age range that are just absolutely terrible to deal with. It ends up with ghosting and all kinds of disrespect and issues. And I decided to opt for maybe seeking to date a younger person. And I've tended to date younger, but this man is much younger. He's 33. He's amazing. And he's the most amazing, attentive lover. He worships me like a goddess. But my issue is, going forward, I want him to have opportunities possibly to be with someone his own age. And I'm struggling with it, even though I know many men who have dated and even married much younger women. Is there a chance that I could have a future with a person as young as that? He's literally 18 years my junior. I'm a nice looking, youthful woman, but I do struggle with making sure that when I'm 60 and he's 42, that this isn't going to be weird.
The president of France, Emmanuel Macron, has been with his wife, president of France, age 43, has been with his wife, Brigitte Macron, age 68, for a long-ass time. So there's a very public, high-profile example of an age gap relationship with a younger man and a much older woman that works. That still works. They still seem to be madly in love. You're stressing about a future, and you're projecting yourself decades into the future. You could have a future with this guy, but what does that mean? Does that mean you're going to be together with him for all eternity? No, because at some point, one or the other or both of you is going to drop dead. So what do? You walk away from someone you feel this close to, you feel this kind of connection to, because when you game it out decades into the future, it's hard to picture how it's going to work. Well, you'll find out how or whether it's going to work in the future. In the future. And it may work for 5 or 10 years, and then you may part ways. But what relationship isn't that true of? It may work for 5 or 10 days, and then you may part ways. There's no guarantee. And looking at a relationship, any relationship, even if you guys were born on the same day at the same time, trying to game out whether this is going to work for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 decades, that's a stress test that very few new relationships bear up under and bear the scrutiny of, the pressure of. You like this guy. He's really into you. You're really into him. It's working. Will it work forever? I don't know. There are no guarantees. Does it work for now? Sure. Can you enjoy a future with this man? Yes, absolutely. Only the future will tell how long that future lasted. Whether you made it to the ultimate finish line for all relationships with a visit to the funeral home and one of you in a casket, congratulations, until death did you part, you were together, you win. Or whether in 2 years, or 5 years, you part ways, time will tell. Only time will tell. The relationship can be a success if it ends up with somebody in a box at a funeral home. The relationship can be a success if you two are together for a time, part ways, and remain friends and friendly. Even if you don't stay in each other's lives, if you can look at that time you spent with a person and feel better for having spent that time with that person because you learned things about yourself, because you grew, because you had experiences that you, the memories of which you treasure and value. Yeah, it was a success. It's an impossible standard. It is, again, a stress test that no relationship really can bear up under. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Fuck this guy. Keep fucking this guy. Keep hanging out with this guy. You have a future with him. He's going to be there tonight. He's going to be there tomorrow. That's the short term. Whether you have a long-term future with him, only time will tell.
If you are finally taking the plunge and getting serious about your creative or business venture, then you're going to need a website, and therefore, you're going to need Squarespace. They make it easy to put together a fantastic website, blog, or online store. They have everything you need: domains, marketing tools, analytics, e-commerce. Squarespace empowers millions of creative types and entrepreneurs by providing them with the tools they need to bring their creative ideas to life. Squarespace can help you get your creative project or business venture off the ground. For instance, you can use Squarespace's suite of marketing tools and integrations to help drive traffic to your site or grow your brand. Create powerful email content that matches your website with your existing products, blog posts, and logo so your messaging is consistent and effective. And in case you were wondering, everything you make with Squarespace translates perfectly to mobile. Mwah! Head on over to squarespace.com/savage for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code SAVAGE to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/savage and use the offer code SAVAGE.
Hi, Dan. I'm in my early 40s and I was married really from the age of 18 up to about 35. And the relationships I had after that for, you know, but close to the last decade now, have been really, really tough because I was really naive and inexperienced and included a lot of infidelity. So I find myself now really traumatized by the idea of someone hiding something from me or lying to me. In this last relationship that I started over 2 years ago has been absolutely wonderful. I've learned so much from my trauma and my experiences, and I've been so clear about my boundaries and my triggers, including specifically that hiding things or lying is a huge boundary for me. It's not a three strikes, you're out. It's a one and done kind of situation for me. Well, I am polyamorous and my partner has not been prior to our relationship, but he is super GGG and has been willing to play with other couples together. He always struggles with performance issues when we're playing with other couples. So I have told him, why doesn't he try taking Viagra to help him until his head is more comfortable in the game? And he went on and on and on about how that was just not for him and it was not something he was open to trying at this point. So this weekend, I was looking for something that was both of ours, that was in a specific bag, and I saw this bag sticking out of his backpack, and I thought, oh, that's that bag that I need, that's both of ours. And of course, that's not what the bag was. It was, had a bunch of 5 packs of Cialis in it. And so I was really, really thrown off by this. I feel like he's been hiding it from me, and it feels like deceit and lying. Turns out he's been using it for over a year, which makes me think of all the times where he was hiding it and keeping it away from me and, you know, just like basically deliberately not wanting me to know about this. Now, I get that people are allowed some privacy in their lives, but given that I have used this specific example in my past, I've told him a situation in my past where this really triggered me when my partner was lying about this and hiding using Viagra specifically. I've been so clear that this would be really traumatizing to me. I'm super triggered. I am freaking out. I know this relationship will never be what it was, but I really worry that I'm going to fall into this horrible cycle of doubting every single thing he says to me now. Dan, am I overreacting, or did he cross a boundary that is now going to have a massive impact on this relationship? What should I do?
I don't understand why you find this traumatizing or triggering. You can't have post-traumatic stress disorder from some men in the past in your life lying to you actively or passively about taking Viagra. It is a medication that some men take. Not everyone is comfortable being open, even with new or newish romantic partners, about every medication that they're taking. People have a right to some medical privacy, just as people have a right to a zone of erotic autonomy. And you should be able to wrap your head around why a guy, to protect his own ego, might not want to admit that he needs Viagra or needs Cialis, even to a girlfriend, someone relatively new in his life, who has advised him to get his hands on some. Do you have no moral imagination? Can you not project yourself into his experience and empathize? Can you not be gracious about this? Like, you didn't need to lie to me about this, but I understand why you might have. Some guys take Viagra for the confidence boost, and they want the person that they're with, they may, you know, their ego may be wrapped up in the person that they're with, believing that they didn't need Viagra or Cialis or any of the other ED meds because they didn't, because their dick works just fine without help. And it's silly, and guys who need ED meds should take them without shame and feel free to be open about them, particularly with a partner who suggested it, but he wasn't there yet or wasn't there with you yet, didn't feel safe sharing this with you yet. And I think your over-the-top reaction, I think your overreaction to discovering that this guy that you advised to take ED meds had taken your advice kind of proves that he may not have been safe opening up with you in particular about this. I get it. I get it. I don't get it. Some guys lied to you in the past about taking Viagra. All right. I don't understand why that is so traumatizing. And now he's lied to you about the exact same thing, even though you, I guess, told him he should take Viagra and also told him you'd been lied to in the past about this particular drug by other guys, and that upset you hugely. I would ask you why that upset you as much as it did back then when other guys lied to you about this thing they didn't need to lie to you about. Look, people have insecurities. You say you have no tolerance for lying or hiding things particularly that don't need to be lied about or hidden from you. But people are frail and people are insecure, and sometimes people hide something, even from someone they love, even from someone they care about. Sometimes people lie and hide things from someone because they love them so much, because the stakes feel so high. And if you can't get past that, if you can't forgive a guy for that, if you can't understand why he might have kept this from you for as long as he did, do him the favor of ending this relationship. Don't torture him by dragging it out. Go find some other guy who already is taking ED meds and will be open with you about that fact, or doesn't need to take them for now. But Jesus Christ, lady, chill the fuck out. In a way, you need to take yes for an answer. Finding the Cialis, you could have gone to him and he could have said, oh, I'm sorry, I should have told you. I went and got a prescription. I've been taking it for a while, but I just like felt weird about having to rely on it. And you could have laughed it off and said, well, with me, you didn't have to feel weird about it because remember I suggested it. And then you could have sat down on his big fucking hard Cialis-enabled dick and gotten past it and done the thing that people have to do over and over and over again in all long-term relationships to make them possible, to make them go, and that is to forgive. And if not forget, shrug the fuck off. You should be able to shrug this the fuck off. If you can't, well, you should break up with him or he's going to shrug you the fuck off soon enough. Life is stressful enough. You have enough to do. Luckily, getting birth control is one less thing you have to worry about. With Pill Club, you'll never have to schedule an appointment or wait in line at the pharmacy ever again. The Pill Club is a birth control subscription prescribed by a medical professional and delivered straight to your door for free in discreet packaging. The Pill Club carries over 120 FDA-approved brands. Most brands of birth control are free with insurance or Medicaid. Otherwise, prices start as low as $9 per month without insurance. What's more, the Pill Club's licensed medical team is just a text away to give you the best reproductive health care. So skip the office visit and skip waiting in line at the pharmacy. Join the club. And right now, when you go to thepillclub.com/savage, the Pill Club is offering a $10 donation to bedsider.org for every Savage Lovecast listener who becomes a patient. Your donation will help low-income individuals get access to birth control through bedsider.org. That's thepillclub.com/savage to get your first birth control care package and to donate to help more women in need of affordable birth control. Remember, thepillclub.com/savage. Let them know the Lovecast sent you. thepillclub.com/savage. You must use the link to make a donation.
Hey, Dan. I live in Toronto, Canada, on the 20th floor of a condo downtown. I walked out on my balcony today in the afternoon and looked over the side, and a few floors down from me, there was a woman masturbating. So I told my girlfriend, I live with my girlfriend, told her, she came out and saw, because it wasn't like the moment just struck her. I need to make that pretty clear. This woman was completely naked, laid out, had a toy with her. This was a process. She was doing this. She chose this moment, this place to do this on her balcony. So I brought my girlfriend out. She saw it. Jarring, and then we stopped looking, but we started talking about it, and just sort of the ethical implications of it. If this had been a guy doing it, I think more people, because people definitely saw this. It wasn't just us. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, surrounded by condos. I think, honestly, obviously, a safe assumption is that she chose to do this deliberately, so that hoping people might be seeing. Why is it that if that was a guy doing that, the police would almost definitely be called? What is it about when a guy versus a girl doing that, it automatically seems more aggressive and creepy as a guy doing it versus a woman doing it? And then the other ethical debate, I've heard you talk about people living their kinks out in public, like a sub being walked by their dom in the grocery store, and how that's exposing people to their kink. But you had a very nuanced conversation, how it's not, but they're not harming anybody. Nothing really explicit is happening. And, you know, having to have a conversation with your kids if they see it isn't the craziest thing. So it was a good nuanced conversation I heard of podcasts ago. The thing is, though, this was her balcony. So you can kind of say, okay, it is her balcony, but it is in the middle of downtown, surrounded by condos. She likely is doing this to be seen. What are the ethical sort of implications of that? Is this something that is really bad for her to have done? What would you say to somebody who called in and said that this was a kink that they had and wanted to do it and they were going to do it? Would you recommend they do it on their balcony? And I guess as a side note, if anybody calls in this week with a sex success story about masturbating on their balcony in hopes that other people would see, you can call them back and let them know that it was mission accomplished.
My grandmother's condo when I was a child, my grandmother was kind of not a very nice person. She had a lot of grandchildren. We had to go to her condo. She had white shag wall-to-wall carpeting and white walls and a million grandchildren. And we weren't allowed to touch anything because we would leave a mark. My grandmother was a monster. I won't go into it. I just bring up my grandmother in her condo because I remember once when I was like, I think 11 or 12 years old, sitting in my grandmother's condo in the living room, not being able to move and looking out the window at a hotel few blocks away where I could see right in the window and there were two men fucking and I was 11 or 12 years old. They forgot to close their curtains and a little pre-gay child saw something and thought, huh, that's an interesting thing. This is pre-internet pornography. Like there wasn't a lot of access to images of men fucking men when I was 11, 12, 13 years old. And I treasure the memory and I'm grateful for their indiscretion. All right. The ethical implications of this, yeah, it's not okay, but I wouldn't have called the cops. You wouldn't have called the cops. What makes this a little different, of course, is that it was a woman doing it. That's kind of a black swan event. When you see people masturbating in public, exposing themselves in public, it's almost always men who are doing that. It doesn't mean it's okay when women do it. It's just different and often less threatening when women do it. Most men who expose themselves in public are trying to elicit some sort of panic response from the people that they're exposing themselves to on street corners, on buses, in windows. They're trying to make someone feel uncomfortable and unsafe. And that's part of the thrill for them. They're not just rubbing one out in a semi-public place where they might be seen. They're kind of cornering someone with their dicks. And then guys who are, you know, rubbing one out in a place where they won't be seen or unlikely to be seen and really can't threaten anybody kind of get lumped in with the guys who are seizing opportunities to expose themselves, exhibitionists, where part of the thrill for them is the other person's discomfort or panic or alarm or trauma response. And that's not okay, right? That's not okay. Men move through the world actually threatening, or because so many men are actually threatening, kind of being perceived as threats, which makes men doing this different than women doing this. I gotta say, though, she's safely contained on her balcony. She's not cornering anyone. No one has to watch. She's not masturbating on a bus. And if it was a dude doing that, and some dudes do that, I have been to Manhattan. I have seen similar things happening on balconies. Someone's on their own balcony. Someone's on their own fire escape. Someone's in their own apartment with the windows open. They have cornered no one. No one is trapped and no one is forced to watch. And once you clock what's going on, you can look away. So I want to say, yeah, ethically, it's not okay. But I also want to follow that up or amend that with, but what can you do? Some people are going to masturbate on their balconies, and part of the thrill for them is that they might be seen. And, you know, we have to share the world with all sorts of different kinds of people. And if you see somebody who isn't threatening you or cornering you, doing something that you don't particularly want to watch, you can look away. Yeah, you can be a little angry about that person and their intent and their desire to be seen in that moment and to rope people in to observing them. And that's not consensual, but it's also not necessarily threatening the way she was conducting herself at that moment, or likely to induce a panic response or a traumatic response in a viewer. You want to be pedantic about it? Yeah, if a dude was doing it, you would call the cops. So if a woman is doing it, you should probably call the cops too. But let's say you had called the cops. Do you really think they would have charged up 20 flights of stairs and kicked down her door and arrested her? The likelier outcome these days when people do these sorts of things, not on street corners, not on buses, not in places where they're cornering people, the likelier outcome is that someone's going to film it and put it on the internet. And that is either going to function as a kind of punishment, or that's going to give that person an even bigger thrill. All right, before we get to listener response calls, let's read some listener tweets. Melinda May tweets, "There are three things holding my soul together: instant coffee, instant noodles, and the Savage Lovecast. I feel less alone with someone in my ear making me laugh. My sincere gratitude to the whole team. Thanks for keeping me sane and sexy. See you all at the next SAC lunch." Thank you, Melinda. Thank you for the very sweet tweet. And thank you for being a Magnum subscriber and joining us at the SAC lunches. Nini Tot tagged me in this tweet: "My dude sent me a video of his whole asshole yesterday, and despite being GGG, I didn't know if I liked that. We used to call that area the place where the sun don't shine, and until digital cameras came along on all of our phones." Yeah, we could take pictures of our buttholes back before digital cameras and smartphones, but we couldn't share them because the creepy guys who worked at the photo developing places at the malls kept all of those photos for themselves. Now, of course, people can easily share their whole assholes with others. But as with dick pics, guys and gals, make sure someone wants to see that before you send it. Unsolicited asshole clips are just as presumptuous and just as problematic as unsolicited dick pics. Even someone who wants to see your whole asshole or your whole other hole wants to know you're considerate enough to ask first. And finally, Garlic Top Knot tweets, "Hey, at Fake Dan Savage, please encourage your listeners to donate to Texas Abortion Funds. the six-week ban that also puts a $10,000 bounty on the heads of anyone who supports or assists someone accessing an abortion has gone into effect. Hashtag Texans deserve better. Hashtag SCOTUS. Hashtag SB8. Hashtag Savage Lovecast. Yes, again, please donate to an abortion fund in Texas. Terry and I have been making a monthly donation ourselves to an organization that helps poor women access abortion. We've been making that donation every month for almost 20 years. We are upping our monthly donation to help fight back in Texas. New York Magazine has a great list of 20 different funds that you can donate to on their website right now. Please go check it out. Please make a donation. All right. If you want me to read your tweet on an upcoming episode of the Savage Lovecast, please be sure to include the hashtag Savage Lovecast. And now listener response calls.
This is in response to the woman who called in after having a threesome with a married couple and found out after the fact that she had violated a boundary she wasn't even aware of. I'm surprised Dan didn't mention this, but at no point does the caller talk about having a conversation, the three of them, ahead of this threesome to establish consent and boundaries and set expectations. She says that she had a conversation with the husband and the husband had a conversation with the wife, but she never mentions if the three of them actually had a conversation ahead of this encounter. She also said that at one point the wife left the room and she asked the husband if they could continue on alone, to which he said yes. But as Dan has pointed out many times, boundaries and consent need to be established ahead of time, not in the heat of the moment or dickful thinking may take over. So caller, while I absolutely agree with Dan that you should continue seeking out those threesomes, be sure to establish these clear boundaries, expectations, and everything ahead of time so that you can avoid situations like this in the future.
Hi, Dan. This is for the woman who is thinking about dating the man who had a sexual relationship with their therapist. I'm a psychologist and a licensed therapist, and I'm not sure that this should be a deal breaker, and hopefully this man knows this too. As you and any other person who has been in therapy knows, the relationship between the therapist and the client is oftentimes the most intimate relationship that someone will experience in their life. Because of this, it's really common that clients will develop sexual feelings for the therapist. It's up to the therapist to use this in therapy and then help the patient grow, and it's also up to the therapist to maintain boundaries with their clients, which is why it's always a possibility that we could lose our licenses if we have a sexual relationship with our clients. I don't think this man should be experiencing any shame, nor think of this as a deal breaker, because I believe the fault lies with the therapist who has had all of the training and has been warned about sexual relationships with clients. So this is completely on the therapist, and the woman should give this man some sympathy for sleeping with his therapist.
Hey, Dan, in response to your caller who oddly pickpocketed her lover on his way out the door and found a used condom, the possibilities you brought up are right, but I think the most obvious one is something I used to do, especially when I was drinking heavily. That is, I couldn't come and thought that I should. So I faked my orgasm and then pulled the condom out and threw it in the trash before anybody could inspect it, that it was empty. So I think that's a good possibility.
And we're going to leave it there. Got a question for me or a comment about this week's show? There are two ways to get them to us. You can use the voice memo app on your phone to record your question or your comment and email it to us at voicemail@savagelovecast.com. Or you can call 206-302-2064 and record your question or your comment. There's a lot of humping going on this week. The Hump 2021 lineup is in Denver on September 8th and 9th at the Oriental Theater. And there's a new Hump's Greatest Hit streaming online starting this Friday, September 10th. And remember, the deadline for submitting your film for Hump 2022 is December 8th. To find out all you need to know about Hump happenings, making a film for Hump, go to humpfilmfest.com. And I've got a new newsletter coming out each week, packed with Savage Lovecast news, my Savage Love advice column, ticket giveaways to my events, and info on my whereabouts. Go to savage.love to sign up for that newsletter. Follow me on Twitter at FakeDanSavage. Follow Lena Dune on Twitter at AskASub. The Savage Lovecast is produced every week by Nancy Hartunian. And me and the tech savvy at-risk youth and Nancy, we will all be coming back at you next week with an installment of Savage Lovecast. Thank you for downloading.